which way, and then they see how the presence of adults fastens each point to one spot. The same happens to every other organism. Don Juan seemed to reflect for a moment and then added that there was indeed one unique effect that man's assemblage point has. He pointed to a tree outside. "When we, as serious adult human beings, look at a tree," he said, "our assemblage points align an infinite number of emanations and achieve a miracle. Our assemblage points make us perceive a cluster of emanations that we call tree." He explained that the assemblage point not only affects the alignment needed for perception, but also obliterates the alignment of certain emanations in order to arrive at a greater refinement of perception, a skimming, a tricky human construct with no parallel. He said that the new seers had observed that only human beings were capable of further clustering the clusters of emanations. He used the Spanish word for skimming, desnate, to describe the act of collecting the most palatable cream off the top of a container of boiled milk after it cools. Likewise, in terms of perception, man's assemblage point takes some part of the emanations already selected for alignment and makes a more palatable construct with it. "The skimmings of men," Don Juan continued, "are more real than what other creatures perceive. That is our pitfall. They are so real to us that we forget we have constructed them by commanding our assemblage points to appear where they do. We forget they are real to us only because it is our command to perceive them as real. We have the power to skim the top off the alignments, but we don't have the power to protect ourselves from our own commands. That has to be learned. To give our skimmings a free hand, as we do, is an error of judgment for which we pay as dearly as the old seers paid for theirs." Chapter 9. The Shift Below. Don Juan and Genaro made their yearly trip to the northern part of Mexico, to the Sonoran Desert, to look for medicinal plants. One of the seers of the Nahual's party, Vicente Medrano, the herbalist among them, used those plants to make medicines. I had joined Don Juan and Genaro in Sonora at the last stage of their journey, just in time to drive them south, back to their home. The day before we started on our drive, Don Juan abruptly continued his explanation of the mastery of awareness. We were resting in the shade of some tall bushes in the foothills of the mountains. It was late afternoon, almost dark. Each of us carried a large burlap sack filled with plants. As soon as we had put them down, Genaro lay down on the ground and fell asleep, using his folded jacket as a pillow. Don Juan spoke to me in a low voice, as if he didn't want to wake up Genaro. He said that by now he had explained most of the truths about awareness, and that there was only one truth left to discuss. The last truth, he assured me, was the best of the old seers' findings, although they never knew that themselves. Its tremendous value was only recognized ages later by the new seers. "I've explained to you that man has an assemblage point," he went on, "and that the assemblage point aligns emanations for perception. We've also discussed that the point moves from its fixed position. Now, the last truth is that once that assemblage point moves beyond a certain limit, it can assemble worlds entirely different from the world we know." Still, in a whisper, he said that certain geographical areas not only help that precarious movement of the assemblage point, but also select specific directions for that movement. For instance, the Sonoran Desert helps the assemblage point move downward from its customary position to the place of the beast. "That's why there are true sorcerers in Sonora," he continued, "especially sorceresses. You already know one, La Catalina. In the past, I have arranged bouts between the two of you. I wanted to make your assemblage point shift, and La Catalina, with her sorcery antics, jolted it loose. Don Juan explained that the chilling experiences I had had with La Catalina had been part of a prearranged agreement between the two of them.
"What would you think if we invited her to join us?" Genaro asked me, in a loud voice as he sat up.
The abruptness of his question and the strange sound of his voice plunged me into instant terror. Don Juan laughed and shook me by the arms. He assured me that there was no need for alarm. He said that La Catalina was like a cousin or an aunt to us. She was part of our world, although she didn't quite follow our quests. She was infinitely closer to the ancient seers. Genaro smiled and winked at me.
"I understand that you've got hot pants for her," he said to me. "She herself confessed to me that every time you've had a confrontation with her,